This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 15th chapter of 2 Samuel, beginning with verse 25. David's son Absalom has rebelled against his father. He has gathered together a large army of people in Hebron. They have armed themselves and they are moving towards Jerusalem to the intent of overthrowing David and taking over the kingdom. David has heard word of the impending invasion, and rather than make Jerusalem a place of devastation and a bloodbath, David decided that he would escape from Jerusalem, leaving it an open city, that he would flee with his loyal friends to the wilderness area where they might prolong for a time their lives and perhaps mount some kind of a counterattack against Absalom. David's loyal friends are gathering there outside of the city gates. They will soon cross the Kidron and make their way up over the Mount of Olives, escaping the city and the impending doom. As David's loyals are gathering with him, out of the city gates came Zadok, the high priest. With him came some of the Levites who were carrying the sacred Ark of the Covenant. And when David saw them taking the Ark of the Covenant, here in verse 25, David said to Zadok, "Carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, 'I have no delight in thee,' behold, here I am. Let him do to me that which seems good unto him." David had come to the most trying time of his entire life. He was at an age where he was not as strong and powerful as he had once been. He didn't have the strength, the endurance. In fact, he had long since ceased to go out to battle with his troops. In the early years of David, he always led the troops into battle. But the last time David was out, during the midst of the battle, he began to be weary. He weakened. He almost fainted. And his men said, "Hey, David, that's enough, man. You're not going out to fight with us anymore. You're worth 10 of us or more. We'll go out and fight for you, but you stay home. We don't want to lose you in battle." And so David was no longer capable of sustaining himself during the times of battle. An older man, the softer life has weakened him. And here now, he has to face this rebellion of his son. In his earlier life, when he was running from Saul, he had plenty of energy. He was unencumbered. He could take up and fly away from Saul at a moment's notice. Things are different now. Not only is he older, but he's encumbered with a lot of possessions. You just can't run. You've got to take things with you. And some of the things that David had to take, of course, were his wives and the children, and those things that wives need. And thus, the flight was going to be much more difficult now. It wasn't just being able to flee and to hide from Absalom. Sooner or later, Absalom is going to be able to catch up with them. And then the dramatic showdown. It's a time when your heart could be filled with discouragement, with fear, because of the uncertainty of the future and just because of the turmoil of having these kind of interpersonal problems within your own home. The outlook for David was very bleak. It would seem that the popular movement of the people was with Absalom. He had stolen their hearts from his father David. David's star seems to be setting while Absalom's star is rising. His fleeing from Absalom is only going to prolong the inevitable. It really looks like it's all over for David. It's only a matter of time until Absalom catches up with him and destroys him. David's chief desire in flight was just to save the city of Jerusalem, to keep it from being devastated by an attack. It was probably one of the lowest points in the life of David. Hit bottom. News is coming constantly of those who he had trusted, his former friends and confidants. At least he thought they were friends. But now he hears that they also have gone over to Absalom's side. Word comes that Ahithophel, his close friend, has turned to go with Absalom. David later writes in a psalm concerning that. He said, "If it were an enemy that would have reproached me, then I could take it, but it was you, my close friend. We took sweet counsel together. We've walked to the house of God together. We've been so close, and now you've turned against me." And David laments the loss of the friendship. Very, very low point indeed for David's life. There doesn't seem to be any escaping. There doesn't seem to be any way out. It is a pitifully small but loyal group who has come with David, but who can blame them? Who wants to join in a dying cause? Who wants to play on a losing team? And it would seem that for David, it's all over. He himself speaks of the uncertainty of the future. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen. This is the time when it is so important to commit your ways completely unto the Lord. You see, anybody can commit their lives to the Lord when things are going well. Living in a nice home, have a nice car, great family, money in the bank. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Lord, it's just all in your hands. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Lord, it's just all, you know, I commit it all to you. And that's easy to do when things are going well. It's when it seems that everything is turned against you. Even those that you had trusted have now turned against you. It seems like every avenue of escape is closed up. You don't have the strength to stand and face the problem, but you really don't have the ability to run. It's just sort of one of those places where there seems to be no answer at all. It looks totally hopeless. It is in that place where if we don't commit everything to the Lord, we will be destroyed mentally, you'll end up a basket case. They'll put you in the hospital and shoot you up with drugs to keep you from just destroying yourself. How important it is, as David, when you're faced with just this situation for which there seems to be no solution or answer, to just say, well, Lord, it's completely in your hands. If I find favor in your sight, you can bring me back. If not, then here I am, Lord. You just do whatever you want. You do what you please. And so David said to Zadok, carry the Ark of the Covenant on back to the city. We're not going to take that with us. We're not going to depend upon a religious relic to save us. We're going to depend completely upon God. And if God saves us, fine. We'll come back, we'll see the Ark again. And if God doesn't see fit to save us, then here I am, and, you know, whatever seems good to him, let him do it. My life is completely committed to the purpose and the plan that God may have for me. I really cannot change what God has ordained. And if I seek to fight against the plan of God, then I'm destined to lose. And all I can experience is futility and frustration. How hard it is for those who have learned to make demands upon God to face these kind of situations. People have misunderstood prayer. People think that prayer is telling God what you want him to do. As though I am in control and that God has to submit to my authority. And God, this is what I want you to do. And I want you to throw in that, and I want it all by 2:00 tomorrow afternoon. Prayer is not telling God what he is to do or what he should do. Prayer is petitioning God for what you would like to see him do. It is asking God, not telling God. God is not under any obligation of obeying our wishes or our whims or our desires. The purpose of prayer is not to get your will done. The purpose of prayer is to get God's will done. I am the suppliant. I beseech him. I pray to him. I ask him. But he is not bound to do even that which I ask or plead. Many times he doesn't. Because I may be asking amiss. I may not understand what God is seeking to do. God may have another way. And so, a step above this, God's got to do this for us now. A step above that is, whatever the Lord does, here I am. Let him do what pleases him, what seems good in his sight. Let the Lord do it. It's just that commitment of the whole thing unto the Lord. I don't know what the Lord is going to do. I don't even know what the Lord should do in some cases. You just place it in his hands and say, well, here I am. Let God do what he wants. Whatever God desires at this point. Knowing that God's ways are better than mine. Knowing that God loves me. Knowing that God is totally aware of these circumstances that I am facing. and knowing that I really don't know the way out, I place it in his hands and I say, okay, Lord, it's up to you to do whatever you want. I'm just going to leave it with you now, and I'm just going to go to sleep. You work it out while I'm napping, will you? That's what David did. He curled up in the corner, all these people busy packing. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Well, what's David say? Well, I don't know. He's asleep, you know. That was the psalm that said when David was fleeing from Absalom. He said, I will lay me down and sleep. I laid down and slept. And I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. He didn't even know if he was going to wake up. Doesn't matter. Maybe Joab is in conspiracy with Absalom also. Maybe as soon as David goes to sleep, you know, they're going to run a javelin through him. He doesn't know who all is on Absalom's side at this point, but I'm going to go to sleep. And I laid down and I went to sleep, and I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Lord, it's all in your hands. Life, death, whatever, sink or swim. Lord, it's all in your hands. I have several little granddaughters who have their grandpa wrapped around their finger. One in particular, big brown eyes, who comes and says, oh, grandpa, please, you know. And those big brown eyes just sparkling. Please, grandpa, I'll be your best friend forever. Man, is that hard to resist. And yet sometimes the things that she is desiring Gramps to do are not for her best. Now, let me assure you that if it is at all within my power, Gramps cannot resist those brown eyes and that folded pleading, oh, Gramps, please. I mean, just, ooh, you know, just to the half of my kingdom, dear. But sometimes what she is wanting can be dangerous. And I'll say, oh, honey, Gramps can't do that for you. That's too dangerous. Oh, but I'll be careful, Gramps. Please, Gramps, please, you know. Sorry, honey. Just can't do it. I think that sometimes as we come to God, we're almost irresistible. Oh, God, please. Lord, please. You know, you've got to do this. And yet in his infinite wisdom, he can see pitfalls that we cannot see. He can see dangers of which I am not aware. And many times, though I plead, God does what is best. Now, as long as I am trying to push God into a particular plan or path, I find myself wrestling, I find myself straining, I find myself filled with just anxieties and, oh, is God going to work? What's going to happen, you know? And not until you come to the place a step above prayer, the place of complete commitment. If the Lord delights in me, he'll bring me back. I'll be here again. We'll move back into our house. Things will be okay. If the Lord doesn't, then here I am. Let the Lord do what he wants. Let the Lord do what seems good to him. I've just committed it completely to the Lord. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. The Bible speaks about a place of rest for the people of God. This place of rest is the place that we fight. I fight against getting in a corner. I do my best to work things out. I try this, then I try that, and then I'm scheming here and trying to manipulate things there, and I'm wrestling with the issues. If there is a way that it can be done, I want to find it, I want to do it. And when all avenues get closed, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do. I finally find the place of rest because I realize there's nothing left for me to try. All avenues are closed. Lord, it's just in your hands. You're just going to have to do what you want. And Lord, I'll just wait and watch and see. And then I rest. The struggling is all over. It's great now. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know, but it's in the Lord's hands. He's going to take care of it. Drives your friends buggy when you get to that place, but because they say, well, man, don't you know what's going on? Or you just don't care, do you? You know, well, yes, I do. I care greatly, but there's nothing. I've just put it in the Lord's hands, and I'm just trusting in God to work, and I can rest. The Bible says there is a rest for the people of God, but it says, let us therefore, and this sounds interesting, let us labor that we might enter into that rest. And sometimes it's real labor to get to that place of rest. I have to really work on entering into that rest. I have to work on the commitment. Because I want to pick it up again. I want to try one more way. There must be one other scheme that I have to really work on resting in the Lord, committing it to Him. Yet Jesus spoke of the folly of worry, the uselessness of worry. Which of you, by worrying, can grow 6 inches taller? Probably a bunch of shorties in the place where he was talking saw this little short guy trying to see over the top, so worried about being short. He said, well, you know, if you're going to worry about it, how, you know, which of you by worrying can grow 6 inches? You can't. You can go ahead the rest of your life and be worried and angry and upset because God made you so short. Or you can just accept, hey, it's the way God made me. He knows best. Lord, it's in your hands. You want me to be taller? Go ahead, you can do it. I can't. You want me to be short? Fine. Whatever. You know. And you learn to just commit your ways fully unto God. Oh, what peace there is. What rest there is. You can sleep. Oh, how tragic it is that people spend their nights tossing, turning, trying to figure things out, working over new schemes in their minds. And sleep flees from them as they try to bear the burdens that they are facing. Oh, that we would learn to just put them in the Lord's hands. Lord, here I am. You do what seems good unto you. You do whatever you want, Lord. I'm leaving it with you. The Bible says, commit your ways unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. What? He'll bring it to pass his perfect plan, his perfect will, his answer, his solution. Maybe it isn't what I want. So it's better than what I was wanting. It's a better way. It's a better plan. And so with David, you that are facing dark circumstances, you that are going through the valley, you don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. You're being pressed in on every side. there seems to be no way of escape, and you don't have the strength to face it. You're about to crack up. Tossing and turning during the night hours, you can't eat. Things are just going to pieces inside. Quickly commit it before you crack. Turn it over to the Lord. If He delights in you, He'll bring you back. You'll see the glory, the victory, the blessings. If not, then whatever. Here I am. Lord, you just do good. You do what seems good to you. I'm leaving it in your hands. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to rest. And I'm going to let you take care of the situation, Lord. I laid down and I slept. I awoke. The Lord sustained me. Shall we pray? Father, bring us to that place of full commitment of our lives unto you, to your plan, to your purpose. May we cease from our labors, from our fretting, from our worrying. And may we, Lord, just rest knowing that you're going to work it out. However you desire, for our good and for the best. So, Lord, our lives are yours. The situations and circumstances that surround our lives are all in your hands. You do what is best, Lord. And we'll just rest in you and watch to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you can empathize with David very much today because you're facing situations for which you do not know the answer. Problems that are beyond you. You don't have the strength to run. You don't have the strength to stand. You don't know what to do. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room. And there, cast all your cares upon Him. The Bible says, casting all of our cares upon Him because He cares for you. Just take that whole situation. Just put it in the Lord's hands. Just say, Lord, I'm dumping it all on you now. I'm not going to try to fight it anymore. I'm not going to try to work it out. Lord, I'm just going to dump it on you. I'm going to trust you now, Lord, to take care of it. And you can go out of here 1,000 pounds lighter, having rolled all the burden and the concern and the worries and the anxieties, roll them all over on Him. Say, okay, Lord, it's all yours now. You take care of it. And I'm just going to, you know, watch and see. You do what seems good in your sight. You work it out. You can be freed today from all of that nagging fear and worry that's just been destroying you. The Lord will take it up. He'll take up your cause. He'll work. What was the result? David came back, moved back into his house. He saw the Ark of the Covenant again. He was restored as king in Israel. God took care of it. God will take care of you if you'll just turn it all over to Him and let Him do it.